as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written. That settles it right there. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So I can't have a problem with holiness. Now you can have all kinds of problems with hypocrisy, because so God does too. But don't link hypocrisy to holiness, because God is the generator of holiness. And God has called you and I to be holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation is conduct. The mouth speaketh from the abundance of the heart. If your mouth is not speaking holiness, then holiness is not in the heart. Holiness. Be ye holy. Run. Paul said, you know, I'm running not as uncertainly. He knew what he was running for. He was running to obtain God's holiness, if you will. He was running to obtain that relationship with God. Now, we talk about the relationship a lot in this house of worship, because relationship is the number one thing for the child of God. Building a relationship with a holy God that is calling you and I to be holy as he is holy. And the only way we're going to be holy as he is holy is if we have a personal ongoing relationship with him, entering into the throne room of our God, entering into the presence of our God, so that we become partakers of his divine nature. Right. Holiness. Hallelujah. That's his divine nature. And so we see here that Paul and Peter are talking very similar, because Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. Well, that's another analogy of getting ready to run a race. Getting ready to run. Girding up is the terminology in the Old Testament of when men were going to run somewhere. When Elijah outran the horses, he girded up so he could run. And so Peter and Paul are really talking about the very same thing. Running the race, girding up the loins of your mind. Be so. In other words, know where you're at in your relationship with God. Know where you're at in your walk with God. Know where you're at in your conduct of how you live your life. Know where you're at with your vocabulary that you use. If you're using a lot of slang vocabulary from the world, kick it out of your vocabulary. The dictionary is full of good, wholesome words that you can use. There's lots of adjectives you can use that are holy. Woo, praise our God. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The only people I know that view a cow as holy are the Hindus. We don't have to use adjectives that the world has derived and try to sanctify ungodly adjectives. Why not use the godly ones that Daniel Webster put in his dictionary? Sorry. Praise God. I've been wanting to preach this now for about 5 weeks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Running to obtain holiness. Now, running, once again, is an analogy. How many in here tonight just love to run?
Oh, really?
You just love to run. Mm-hmm. We'll find out when school starts just how much you love to run during PE class. I'm not going to do it here tonight. I don't want to embarrass you. Praise the Lord. Everybody loves to run. I could raise my hand and say, oh, I love to run. About 2 laps. Woo, yeah. Praise God. How many then realize running becomes difficult after you've ran for a little while. Everybody's starting out. I mean, they're fresh. They want to run. They love to run. But we're going to run a long ways. Matter of fact, we're going to run all the way to eternity. And we're not going to stop till we reach that city. Woo! Yeah. Now, running. Brother Mike, would you love to go run a mile with me? Yeah. I asked you because I know you didn't want to. Praise God. Now, if I ask Titus, you want to go run a mile with me? And he say, yes, because he knows I can't run one. Why? Because it's work. It takes effort. It takes time. And it takes diligence to get to where you can run long distance. It takes time. It takes determination. And it takes diligence to maintain your Christian walk. That's why Paul was using that analogy. So run that ye may obtain. It's not going to be easy to be holy. If you want to be unholy, just don't do anything and you'll get that way real quick. Just occupy your mind with everything of pleasure and everything of amusement. I'm sorry, your video games. I mean, just occupy your mind with everything except Jesus Christ. You're not going to obtain anything godly or holy. You're going to have to make yourself get alone in prayer. You're going to have to make yourself open up God's Word to study it. Not just read it, but listen to it. Study it. Meditate upon it. When I think about the Lord. Woo, hallelujah. He says, so run. Run. Now, every man that striveth for the mastery, in other words, everybody that wants to win, is temperate in all things. How many want to go to heaven? How many want to be temperate in all things? Better raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. The question, everybody want to go to heaven? Yes, I want to go to heaven. Do you want to be temperate to get there? That takes work. That kind of encroaches upon my convenience sometimes. Woo! Oh, God of heaven, help us tonight. We've got to run to obtain holiness. We've got to work to obtain holiness. We've got to build to obtain holiness. That little song we sing sometimes, building up the wall and I won't come down. That's a reference of the work that it takes to obtain holiness. Because I don't know whether you realize it or not, but in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And so it's not a matter of a picking and choosing of whether I want holiness or I don't want holiness. I've got to run to obtain holiness in my life. Hallelujah. That means things have got to change. You notice that Peter said, be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, let your mind be thinking on the right things. Let your mind be in pursuit of holy things. Let your mind, hallelujah, be sober. What's that mean? That means I am serious about serving God, serious about building my relationship with God, serious about making heaven my home, because my Bible tells me that faith without works is dead. And that's why Paul could say, run, that you might obtain. You see, there's a part we play in our salvation that everybody else in the whole wide world seems like they want to forget about under the Christian banner. They just want to grab the free gift and continue to live on their selfish lives. But God says, I brought you this gift so that you could obtain holiness in your life, purity in your life, righteousness in your life. You see, holiness is the number one priority for the child of God, because holiness is the character of God. Holiness is the description of God. And so if I want to be like Christ, holiness is what I must pursue according to God's holy word. See, there's that word holy again. Because God's word is holy, because, hey, I don't find too many people out in the world and living in sin that want to live what that Bible says. Because holiness just means separate from this world. See, God's, well, let me read you the scripture. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. That word patience there is endurance. The race that is set before us. The race that is set before us, this is what we're ministering tonight. This race that we're running is to obtain holiness in our lives. Not self-righteousness, not self-proclaimed holiness, but holiness of heart, which is obtained as I continually surrender, as God continually speaks to God's word, God's ways. And so here's the race. The writer of Hebrews talking about again. And now he gives us another clue. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have you ever fainted in your mind? I mean, have you ever come to that place where you just feel overwhelmed and you just don't have, your faith grows weak, and you just end up muttering these words, "I can't." You ever been there? I have. Oh yeah. Most of the times when God asks me to do something that I personally don't think I can do, or I personally don't feel like I want to do, I can't. God, I can't do that. I can go all the way back to when he called me to preach the gospel, and those were the words that would come out of my mouth. God, I can't do that. Isn't it amazing when we tell God that we can't do something, and then immediately we think of that scripture in Philippians chapter, what is it, 4, verse 13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And do you realize that's the ones we throw at everybody else when they say they can't? That's the first one we think of when somebody else says, "I can't." But when we're faced with a dilemma and we're saying, "I can't," we just skip that one. We think it doesn't apply. That's not holiness. Holiness is a reality that it all applies to me. And I must be more concerned about me and my walk with my God than everybody else's walk that I see. You realize the biggest hindrance to the growth of most Christians is because they're always trying to make everybody else grow, and they never look at their own lives. Do you realize the downfall of many ministers and pastors is because they're always more concerned about straightening up everybody in the congregation instead of their own lives? I've seen it. I've watched it happen. And I pray every day that mine ain't like that. I pray every day that I'm running the race that is set before me. I'm praying that, God, you talk to me. God, you change me. You work your works in me. You know, Lord, where my weaknesses are. You know where my strengths are. God, work in me, Lord, that I can run this race that is set before me. I'm serious. I am fearful. I am scared to death in the sense of what God is coming to do in these last days and what it's going to require of me as he begins to do it as the pastor of this church. It's a fearful thing. Amen. And so we see then the reality of working on my walk, running my race, that I may obtain holiness. You see, holiness is that relationship with God and that obedience to God. That's what Peter, I've only went through just a few scriptures here this evening. I got to move on here. Oh, I've got all the way to 9 o'clock, don't I? Praise the Lord. I haven't preached for many, many times. And Peter said it in verse 14, 1 Peter 1 and 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, here's the difference between holiness and not building your life after the worldly ways that you had, but as obedient children. So here's the key to holiness. Is obedience to God's word when God begins to bring it to bring the light or bring his word to your mind, to your heart, to your life, then it is my responsibility to become an obedient child. And as I am obedient to God's dealing through his word, dealing through his spirit, then holiness is produced in my heart and in my mind. That's how holiness is produced in our lives. It's not a list that we can write down on a piece of paper and say, all right, now do all this and you'll have holiness. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. But God has written a list, hallelujah, and he says, obey me and you will be a partaker of my divine nature. You be obedient children, and holiness will be birthed in your heart and in your mind. And thus, when holiness is birthed in the heart and in the mind, this is where you find the difference in believers. Believers that have a fear of God and a respect of God and an honor towards God, and believers that want to tell God what to do. What's the difference? Holiness and worldliness. Christians trying to serve God in a worldly way. Now they're out there by the droves. But so are the ones who are trying to serve God in a holy way. They're out there too. Hallelujah. And so we see then it's a matter that obedience brings holiness. And I said all that to help us understand when holiness is being produced in our lives, in our hearts and in our minds, then righteousness is not going to be a problem. See, holiness is my relationship with God, my walk with God, my obedience to God, my fellowship with God, my union with God. We're to be one with Jesus Christ. That means we're to have the mind of Christ. We're to have God's word as our definitions of situations and circumstances. God's word is where we go. And if we don't understand some of the words in God's word, then we go to the dictionary. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. And so God's word is spiritually understood. So if you're building your relationship with God, then God is going to begin to reveal his word to you and I. And as God reveals his word to you and I, how many realize it's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit, the Word of God, to let us know how the children of God should live. Woo. Glory. You see, we're running. It's work. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's work. Faith without works is dead. Got to realize we've got a part to play. It's building that relationship with God and letting God have his way in our lives, that all of our conversation or our conduct or the way we think is holy, which means it's the way God would have it done. That's what his word's for. It's not to go through and find all the blessings. It's not to go through and just find all the promises. It's to go through and find out how he wants us to live. Hallelujah. We're born into the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God. We're empowered in this kingdom by the baptism in the Spirit of God. And we are growing in his grace and in his knowledge, which is holiness, by definition. through the Spirit of God, quickening the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, we're running. In other words, we are striving. We are pressing. We are working. We are going to the extreme. Woo! Go on a float trip with Calvary Lighthouse Church, and when you get done, you start talking about our extreme things we do when we go out on a fellowship with the people of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, because we want to worship God to the extreme. We want to serve God to the extreme. We want to be holy before God to the extreme. We just want to be obedient children to God. And holiness will just show up. Hallelujah. And so we see then we are running to obtain. Yeah, we're not running uncertainly. We're not fighting as one beating the air. We know what we're fighting. Every one of us know where we need to fight harder. The enemy knows our weaknesses, and so do we, but we can't get complacent about them. We've got to realize we are in a race, and we are running for our life. We are running to obtain holiness, and holiness is the life of Christ. Glory. Jesus Christ walked the face of this earth, and he was holy. Hallelujah. He didn't sin. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was the Lamb of God. And many would say, yeah, but he was the Son of God. But you forget, he walked on the face of this earth as the Son of Man. He had the consciousness of God, the Father. He did. And his desire was to do the Father's business from a young age. Hallelujah. But he still was tempted and tested and tried. Matter of fact, we have one account of it for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness by Satan himself. That's very doubtful that any of you or I myself have ever really had a face-to-face conversation with Satan himself. Because he's real. But what we fight the most in these last days is just our flesh. Just our fleshly desires. Just our carnal desires. Because all the carnality and all the flesh and all the carnal desires and fleshly desires are ever before us in this world of media. Facebook's full of it. And if you put too much conservative stuff on Facebook, they'll erase it. Delete it. Remove it. It's pressing us on every side. How hard are you pressing back? How hard are you pushing it back? Are you running to obtain holiness? Or are you just trying to do a walk through the park and try to dodge all the media that's coming at you? Or are you realizing what's going on and realize that I've got to be sober, I've got to be alert, I've got to be on my game, if you will, and I've got to be ready to run at any moment, I've got to be ready to make a decision at any moment, I've got to be ready to have faith that'll quench every fiery dart that the enemy throws at me. Do you realize this comes only by work? This comes only by determination. This comes only by diligence. Hallelujah. You're not going to fall into heaven. You're going to run. You'll fall into sin. But going to heaven, you're going to be running. You're going to be putting forth effort. You're going to be denying yourself, taking up your cross, following Jesus Christ, and hanging on every word of God that comes your way. Because you want to be holy. As he's holy. And there's no other way. Isaiah 55 and 6. Got to move on here tonight. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God, in this scripture, is revealing that man has to turn from the way that he's going, and he has to turn to God's ways. God's ways are not easy ways for carnal man. But those that will turn, forsake his way, forsake his thoughts on it. What's God saying there? He's saying, when you're ready to be holy like I'm holy, then I will pardon. I will have mercy. I will give you grace. Now, you may never thought of it like that, but that's called repentance. When you're ready to turn from your thoughts, when you're ready to turn from what you think, when you're ready to turn from how convenient or inconvenient it is for you, and you are ready to hear God's ways, then he will abundantly pardon. And you will find mercy. You will find grace. It's called repentance. Repenting from the direction I'm going. Turning from the direction I'm going. Turning from my own thoughts, my own desires, to hear what thus saith the Lord. To hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. Praise God. And so we see here, then God is giving us an understanding that the only way change is going to happen is when you and I are ready to forsake the way we're doing it and take up the way he wants it done. Holiness is the most important part, once again, because it will produce the righteousness. It will produce the kindness. It will produce the compassion. It will produce the mercy. It will produce the forgiveness. Why? Because God's a holy God. And so everywhere in the Bible says you need to forgive because you've been forgiven. What is it? That's holiness in action. It's holiness in action. There's no way you can forgive until holiness has consumed your heart and you're forgiven. And you know you're forgiven. And you know you're unworthy to be. You'll know holiness is gripping your soul of your when you feel so unworthy and you wouldn't even think about not forgiving someone. That's holiness. Woo. Once again, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations I can write down. That was the law. But holiness is a relationship, a newness of life, building that relationship with God and finding out what God's like and wanting to be just like him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure when you were growing up as a child, there was somebody that just took your mind and your thought was, I want to be just like them. I want to be just like them. I want to be just like them. I don't think anybody ever wanted to be just like Brother Pepper. You know, because Brother Pepper's a strange duck. Hallelujah. But every one of us have him. Sometime in our childhood, I want to be like them. How much more as a child of God, I want to be like Christ. I want to be like my Father. Hallelujah. I want to be holy as he's holy. Hallelujah. And that can only happen by building that relationship with him and entering into his presence and meditating in his word and learning that voice of God, hallelujah, to teach me and train me and shape me and mold me and just keep me pressing forward, striving to run the race. And you'll notice this emphasis, and in Hebrews it said the race that is set before us. So in other words, Michael, I'm not going to run your race. You're going to run your race, the race that is set before you. Grant, you're going to run your race that is set before you. Titus, you're going to run the race that is set before you. We're all running. The glorious thing about the kingdom of God is we can all win the prize. Because it's our race. It's our relationship. Hallelujah. So I'm running the race that is set before me. It's a present tense because I'm running it today. Hallelujah. Should Jesus Christ tarry, guess what? Tomorrow will become today and I'll be running it today again. It's my race. I've got to run every day if I want to win. Now, if I don't want to win, then I can run just on Sundays. I mean, you know, for exercise to do any good, you need to do some of it every day. That's what my wife tells me every day. Woo. I'm glad she does, because I do. I need to exercise every day. I ain't getting any younger. How about you, Brother Cisnero? I didn't say you're old. I just said, well, I'm not getting any younger. And I'm realizing I'm going to have to start doing something because I want to be able to do things longer. I'm not ready to give it up and sit down in a wheelchair and say, push me. Sometimes I feel like that, but I'm not ready for it. So I'm going to have to do something to change the direction of the way things are going. It is no different in the spiritual kingdom of God. If I'm finding that my spirituality and my sensitivity to the Holy Ghost is not what it used to be, that means I've let it dwindle. I didn't put forth the effort to keep it strong. I mean, this is why the analogy is used, because so run that you might obtain. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't think you can't. Because Jesus Christ is running right beside you saying you can. Yes, hallelujah. He's not asking us to run this race alone. Hallelujah. He's just asking us to run. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And Paul said, you know, I know where I'm fighting. I know what I've got to run for. I've got to run so that I am walking with God. He put it in other terminology, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He knew that he had to keep running to obtain holiness. Because holiness is not something that you just get and you got. Holiness is a way of life. Hallelujah. This is where most quote-unquote holiness churches miss it. They think it's an obtainable status. It's not. It is a way of life that is found only in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I continually listen, learn, as the Spirit of God speaks and deals in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, that I continually have a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ to where He can direct my paths on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Where He can maintain holiness in my life. Holiness is maintained by maintaining obedience to God on a daily basis. Pretty simple, isn't it? Why do we think it's so hard to obtain? Because it takes the dying out to our self-life. It takes a taking up of the cross and following Jesus Christ. Praise be to our God. And it's not an option. You see, we get faint in our minds when inconvenience comes. We're living in the day and the hour of convenience stores. Did you ever dream that Quick Trip would be one of the major corporations in Oklahoma and have convenience stores within a mile of each other all through Tulsa I know of? And they're always full. And everything always costs twice as much as if you went to the dollar store and got it. But everybody just does it because it's convenient. And they did something there. I wish I would have been on the top layer of that pyramid. I'm not for that. Don't misunderstand me. But just the reality, they are capitalizing on the carnal side of humanity. Most people do. Oh, we better go on. Praise God. Whew. Does it ever boggle your mind how many eating places there are? And until coronavirus hit, every one of them on a Friday night was packed full. And you know most of those people couldn't afford to do that. But they do it anyway. Because it's more convenient than cooking at home. Don't misunderstand me. I eat out. I like to eat out. I try to be frugal when I eat out. Sometimes I'm not. But the thing is, we've got to realize the enemy knows that if we lean more to our fleshly side, he knows just where to keep putting the pressure. You know, come here, Titus. Stand right here, just about arm's length, please. Now lean to your left. It doesn't take much to push you over. Now come back over here and lean towards me. What's the difference? If you're already leaning that way, plop. But if you're fighting and you're running and you're doing everything you can to be holy for God, you're going to stand. Woo. Thank you, Titus. Praise our God. Glory. That's a good illustration, Titus. You did well. Praise God. Woo. Running to obtain holiness. Hebrews chapter 12. I've got to move on. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying my preaching time tonight. I am enjoying it. I haven't got to do it in a long time. Praise God. Hebrews 12 and 10. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he, talking about God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. So here's some reality. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. This is a reference again to running. If you will, running, make a straight path. Let me realize it's so much easier to get where you're going in a straight path instead of just going here, there, and everywhere. Woo! Straight path. Mind made up. Foot's on the rock. Mind's made up. And I'm going forward with Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, that's what he's talking about. Lift up the hands that hang down, the feeble knees. You tired? How many's ever been running and... Praise God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the endurance, the long race. Oh my, it's time to pull it up, and it's time to run the race. It's time to obtain holiness. And that's what he says, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, there's the word diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How could we not make it? For the grace of God is being given unto us abundantly in this hour we live in. My, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Why would he put that in there? Root of bitterness. Have you ever got bitter because somebody else was doing good and you weren't? Somebody else seemed like they was winning and it seemed like you were losing all the time. That's the wrong thoughts. Because the grace of God's there for everybody. It's there for everybody. And everybody that will realize it's time to run the race. it's time to put forth your effort. Most of the time, those that you become envious of that seem to be doing better than you are, it's because you're not doing what they are doing. They're running the race, and you're not wanting to get out of the chair to run. Woo, that's tight, but it's right. And so instead of beating yourself up and dealing with yourself, you start fault finding. What is that? That's a root of bitterness. You're bitter because you think God's doing something for them that he's not doing for you, and that ain't what it is at all. Because what it is they're doing something for God that you're not doing for God. And that's why you don't have what they've got going on. And so you see, this is what the scripture's talking about. Don't go down that road of bitterness. Don't go down that road of envy. Lift up those hands. Make straight paths for your feet. And run the race that is set before you, being willing to do whatever needs to be done. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, the gospel song, that I'll be willing to do whatever it takes. And it starts out of a young woman picking up a Gideon Bible in a motel room and reading the story of the woman at the well and realizing that's her life story. And she kneeling down beside the bed and she begins to pray, Lord, I'll be willing to do whatever you want me to do, whatever I need to do, if you'll change my life. And then it moves on and it talks about Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'll be willing to do whatever you want me to do, whatever I need to do, whatever I must do. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to win? The right way. Running to obtain holiness. How many's ever been tempted to cheat in a game of Monopoly? How many's been... I might as well stop there, you know. That's temptation. But see, there's nothing you can cheat and win the race in the kingdom of God. There's no other way other than lift up. Get back up here. Make straight paths so you don't have to run so hard and so feeble. Once again, running in a straight line is a whole lot easier to run than crooked lines. I mean, if you really want an illustration, we'll go out here in the gravel, you know, where they played football. Isn't it easier, guys, when he's playing football to run a straight line than try to run in between everybody? You see, when you're running the race and you're running the straight line, you've got your eye on the goal. You got your sights on where you're going. And no matter what gets in your way, you just plow them. Pow, pow, pow. Woo. I mean, that glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because there's always every type of distraction, hindrance, obstruction in your race. This is why you got to be temperate. Temperate is not just a physical thing. Temperate is a mental thing. I'm going to make it no matter what gets in my way. I am going to continue to run this race. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to try to rapidly close here. Philippians 3 and 9. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's several portions of scripture there two verses of scripture that I didn't read. And basically, they were talking about Esau, a profane man, a man that sold out his birthright for a bowl of beans. Didn't mean much to him, did it? Didn't take much for him to get knocked off track in his race, did it? You see, your flesh is your biggest enemy. For some, it's a bigger enemy than others, but it's the enemy of all. There's only three areas that you're going to be tempted to do wrong in. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is, every temptation that you will ever face will fall underneath those three categories. And you and I have the strength through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to conquer all three. Woo. Praise our God. Hallelujah. So now we'll move on. Philippians 3 and 9. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that high calling? I mean, it could be a multitude of things, but I want to call it holiness tonight. The high calling of God is, be ye holy, for I am holy. That is the call of God to His believers, because He has provided everything in His great plan of salvation for that to transpire, for that to happen. Notice He talks about the righteousness that is of Christ. That is that right standing with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with my holy, righteous living. And right after He says that is when He starts talking about the fact that I'm not righteous yet. I've not made heaven yet. But I press to be that way. God's part and our part. God's part is to say, you're righteous in a right standing with me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My part is, thank you, God, for cleansing me from all my past sins and show me the way of your righteous kingdom that I might walk therein. That's our part. So God's righteousness that is imputed is through the blood, and it puts me to where I can enter into the throne room of God that I might obtain knowledge and understanding and power to be holy as He's holy and to walk righteously in this present world. Right here, right now. Praise our God. And the last scripture tonight is found in Hebrews 12 also. Verses 25 through 29. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of though of the things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Holiness. What is that? Reverence and godly fear. That means, God, whatever you say, that's what I want to do. Lord, whatever your word declares, that's how I want to live. That's reverence to God, That's godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We read the scriptures just previously how that chastening of the Lord's not joyous, but grievous. But then it produces something we could never have obtained. Righteousness. You see, there's some things that naturally we can do. But to have that change of heart and to begin to walk in holiness, it can only come from God as we continually give ourselves to Him. And then we can grab a hold of that scripture. It's not I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. What is that? That's holiness. Running, putting forth the effort, striving, being diligent, making it the primary goal to be holy as He's holy. Hallelujah. In our heart, in our words, in our mind, in our deeds. Everything about us given to Him. Praise the Lord. Could I have a piano player back this evening? Running. Praise the Lord. I feel like I've been running here tonight. Hallelujah. Running. 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 It's not always easy to do what needs to be done. But we also know and understand that until we do what needs to be done, we will not grow. And we will not obtain that closer walk with Him. We will not obtain that holiness that we so desperately need in our lives to help us in every given situation that we might encounter while we're doing battle on the face of this earth. Why the powers of darkness, the principalities, and the powers of the air, all this lawlessness that's going on around us, the only way we're going to be able to effectively combat that physically and mentally is by His holiness. Because that holiness brings peace. That holiness brings assurance. That holiness brings a oneness. That holiness brings a reality. That holiness brings a joy. These are the things we're going to need to overcome in these last days. And it's only found in the presence of our God. Praise God. That's why we need His Word coupled with His presence, to where He begins to write it in our hearts. And when He writes it in our hearts, it will abundantly flow in our words and in our deeds, running to obtain God's holiness. Stand with me if you would. God of heaven. Father in heaven, I praise Your holy name. God, I thank You for Your holy word. I thank You for Your Holy Ghost. God, it's in this house tonight. God, I thank You for Your holy people, Lord, that are hungering and thirsting after Your righteousness. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, just work Your wonderful works among us tonight, in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Father in heaven, what love You have for Your children. Lord, You know us each one by name. Hallelujah. And You're working in each one of our lives as we run the race that is set before us. And I praise You, God, for what You're doing in this house, in this church, in the lives of Your people. Praise be to our God. Glory and honor be given unto You. Let's come around the altars tonight. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's close out with a time of prayer here this evening and let's reflect. Let's reflect upon what God has been speaking to our hearts here this night.